Hello, hello. Welcome back to Teach Languages Online, the podcast all about the best advice for your online language teaching business. My name is Lindsay. I am your host for this show and for this episode. And as always, before we get into our topic for today, I have a little something to recommend for you. And this week it is to get yourself into the online teaching starter kit. So this is my course for people who are wanting to teach languages online or who are doing it already but want to expand and do it better and in a way that works best for them. And the reason I'm suggesting this right now is because we have a live session. This is brand new and exclusive to members of the Online Teaching Starter Kit coming next week at the time of recording and publication. And this is called DIY PR. So for the past over a year now, I have put together my own little very quick method of how I can do more outreach for PR and for promotion and all of that stuff. And it works really, really well. So I'm going to share this with you, walk you through this step by step in that brand new workshop, DIY PR, but it is exclusive for members of the Online Teaching Starter Kit. So if you want that, as well as all the other bonuses that have just been re-delivered live with new updated versions as well, then I highly recommend that you get yourself inside the OTSK, as we call it on the inside, and I'll see you there. Visit onlineteachingstarterkit.com to get started, and I'll see you inside. Looking forward to it. This episode then, in preparation for that workshop DIY PR, I want to talk to you about a question that comes up a lot and really has a very short answer. I could end this episode in just a minute or so because the answer is very, very short, but we'll dig into it a little bit more. And the question is, how many times should I tell people about my thing that I have available? Should I tell people that they can learn with me? Should I tell people about my online course or my program or my lesson packages? How many times should I do this? And the reason this comes up so much is because we feel like we're doing it all the time. We feel like we are constantly talking and talking and talking about how people can work with us. And for a lot of us, when we are more so natural teachers than natural marketers, we have this sense of altruism, and that is very, very easy to exploit. It's beyond easy to exploit altruism. Just think about the way that, jobs that are typically quite altruistic, like teaching, like nursing, for example, are treated in many societies, not often valued as much as perhaps they should be, because it's really easy to exploit altruism because people want to help. And if that is you, if you're like, yeah, I can relate to that, then I completely understand why this question has come up again and again and again. It's because the marketing side feels newer and more different. And so it feels like, am I talking about this too much? Are people bored of hearing about what I have to offer and how I can help? And the answer is no, because if people are bored of that, there is an unsubscribe button at the bottom of every email. They do not need to visit your website, right? There's so many websites on the internet. So they can choose to take themselves away if that's how they feel. But for the majority of people, they are not going to see or hear every mention that you give of your products, of your services. And therefore, the short answer to this question of how many times should I tell people about what I do is all the time. That's it. That's the answer. Like I say, we'll dig into where to do this, how to do this a little bit more. But that is it. If you're like, okay, I've got what I need, I'm going to go off and I'm going to start talking about my stuff more, then do it. But if you're thinking, well, where do I talk about it more? How do I do this more? I'm going to cover you with a few options. First of all, number one, CTAs in content. So a CTA is a call to action, right? So this is essentially when you have a blog or a podcast or a video and you then have something else that can further help people, right? So for example, I have a blog post about something to do with music, right? I have a few of them, but let's just, you know, there's a few, right? But let's just say that I have one that's something to do with music, and I have my course, Music Maestro. So I know that if someone is reading that blog post about music, then Music Maestro would be a really useful next step for them. So I'm going to mention Music Maestro in my content. I'm going to give people a call to action, a point in them in the right direction for that next step and say, hey, if you've enjoyed this, if you found this useful, this is going to help you even more, right? And that's what a call to action is. You might already have a lot of content that can be kind of retrofitted with some calls to action. So for example, if you were writing about the topic of your online course long before you actually made the online course, then chances are it's worth taking a little moment to just sit down, revisit those blog articles, podcasts, videos, whatever pieces of content they are, and then to think, okay, how can I add this in? Create a call to action library, I call it, where, you know, you have various bits of copy. So you're not just saying the same copy and paste every time. You've got kind of 5 to 10 variations of the same call to action, right, with different text. And you can then copy and paste one of those rather than just the one into those old blog articles and, you know, into those descriptions for the podcast and for the videos on that relevant same topic. And so this is the first way, is you don't even have to start to to talk about it like loudly and publicly. If that feels like, oh, that's so scary to start to talk about it more, you're just kind of retrofitting it in to relevant pieces of content that you've already made. That's number one. Number two, kind of following on from that, it's podcast video descriptions and also your email PS. And so the general umbrella of this is places where there is a regular piece of copy that is the same, right? So for example, if you have YouTube and you use a YouTube channel as part of your promotion and your marketing, then you'll know that you can have a regular, like, default, that's the word, a default piece of text that goes into every description box for new videos that you upload. So you don't have to type this out or copy and paste this every single time. As soon as you add the video, it will be already in the description. So that's a really useful way to do it, because again, it's relatively effortless once you've put in that initial legwork. The same goes for an email PS. You can create a template in your email provider where you, I say email provider, I mean your, I think the proper term would be EMS, email marketing system, where you send emails from. So for me, that would be ConvertKit. It could be MailChimp, any of those sorts of providers, where you could have a template with your PS that regularly says, want to work with me more? Here's how. And so every single email that you send, it's not dominating the text and the message, but it's there as a mention if people want to click through and learn more. So that's the second way, is to think about those bits of regular copy where you can add this in. Another suggestion here in the same vein would be if you're using social media and you have like a little teeny tiny link that you have. Maybe you use something like Linktree, or you've created your own version on your website, a different page to welcome people from social media. You'd want to make sure that it would be mentioned there as well if you're using that. So those regular pieces of copy that once you've updated once with a template or with a default fill-in, it's done and it's ready to go. Number three is, again, in terms of CTAs on your blog specifically, but also on your website. And what I'm thinking about here is more specifically pop-ups and sticky bars that are on your website. So you can create these once. I use ConvertBox for this. It's really, really handy, really, really useful. I'll share a link in the description. And you can have whole kind of welcome mat pages that take over the whole page. You can have pop-ups. You can have little like sort of chat message boxes that come up in the corners, sticky bars along the top or the bottom. Choose which options work best for you and have your things, your products, your services, even your free downloads and opt-ins mentioned in these as well. So for example, if I have that blog article about music and I've already added the relevant CTA in the content and said, oh, hey, by the way, Music Maestro exists, you might be interested in this. I can also have perhaps an exit pop-up that just reminds people, oh, are you interested in Music Maestro? Click here to learn more now. Something like that, obviously with better, better copy. But that then would just reinforce the message. So thinking more about how you can enhance and advance, right? So like add in an extra layer to the content that you already have on your website, and not just your content, but your general website. So your homepage, your about page, what do people see once they're about to click off or once they arrive on those pages? Is there something else that would be useful there to add in these pop-ups or these sticky bars? And once you start to take action on these first three steps, you'll begin to notice that it is becoming more of a kind of natural thought process. So as you are creating new content and writing new emails, you're thinking about when it would make sense to include a mention of your products and your services, right? So going through the process with these first three ideas will really, really help you to just get used to it and to feel more confident in it without needing to just suddenly expose yourself and be like, hello, I have a thing, you should come and buy this thing. Like that can feel very scary and dramatic. So we're going to build up, right? We're going to start with those first three. By then it will feel like, okay, now I'm going to begin to include it on a regular basis with new stuff. And then number four, you'll then begin to collaborate. So collaborations are great because it is a whole, it's a bit like a Venn diagram, right? I was going to say a whole new audience, but that's not quite true because chances are if you collaborate with the right people, there will be a little bit in the middle of that Venn diagram of people that already know you and the person you're collaborating with. But chances are there'll also be a lot of people who didn't know you before your collaboration. And when I say collaboration, oh, this could be an episode in itself because I think I do actually have a blog article about this that I wrote a few years ago. So I'll link to that in the description. That's kind of the beauty of collaboration, is that you can choose a way that feels comfortable, that feels just like enough of a challenge outside of your comfort zone that you're not having to suddenly leap to the other side of like, whoa, where am I? This is a lot. This is a huge shift, right? So collaboration, loads of different ways that you can be doing this. You can be thinking about perhaps hosting a joint venture webinar where basically two of you would be co-hosting a webinar or a live class, and you can then both have something that you share at the end. Perhaps if you have, like if I have Music Maestro and someone else has, I don't know, like Film Maestro equivalent, right? Then it would make sense for us to do a class together about how to use entertainment, pop culture, film and TV, something like that, and then have this bundle offer at the end where people can get both of our courses for a special deal, or there's an extra bonus or something like that. And that can then act as direct promotion for your products and for your services. So many opportunities and options with collaboration. So I'm going to let you kind of just leave that in the back of your mind, just simmering and have a think on what it could look like for you. But long story short, collaborate, lots of choice in terms of where, how, when to tell people about your products and services. And finally, number five, PR. So like I mentioned, DIY PR coming up next Wednesday, so the middle of October, exclusively for members of the Online Teaching Starter Kit. If that isn't you yet, make sure it is by next week so you're ready to catch this. Because if you do feel like, oh, I need to be telling people more about my products, about my services, I need to get the word out a little bit more, this is a great way to do that. And what I mean by PR, typically this is like press, right? So like being in a newspaper or on TV or on the radio, and that stuff can be great, but there's also lots of other ways that can like I include them under this sort of umbrella of PR, right? So for example, podcast interviews or guest blogging or speaking at events, all of that stuff I'm including as opportunities to expand and give you a space where you can tell people more about how you work and how people can work together with you. So my favorite of this right now, at least, ask me in a year, we'll see, maybe I've found something else and that feels right, but right now it's podcast interviews, where I have my little system set up and I'll teach you the system in DIY PR, and it's all in Airtable, it's all very much as automated as possible. And yeah, I have one session of finding podcasts that would be a good fit, then I add them to the list, then I have my little bits of text I include, and then I press go, and automatically the email gets sent from Airtable asking if they would like me to be a guest on their show. And this has a good return rate in terms of, you know, how many I've sent out and how many I've had replies for and then got on to the podcasts and had success with, like really, really successful rates. So definitely want to share that full story with you. It's kind of hard to do on a podcast as well, because like it's very visual. And that's what we're going to do in DIY PR next week, middle of October 2023. If you're listening in the past, you can't be listening in the past. If you're listening in the future, then it will still be there. So don't worry if you're like, oh, it's November or it's October 2024, it's all good. DIY PR will still be inside the online teaching starter kit waiting for you. So you can still join and you can still get access to the recording of the workshop. And yeah, just like I say, really, really looking forward to sharing this with you. It's something I've been working on and had kind of bubbling under and testing out now for a little while, and it's working. So it's about time to share. And so yeah, that is really it for this episode. The short answer: how many times should I tell people about my thing? All the time. That is it. That is the answer. The long answer: rewind and listen to the episode again and you'll catch everything. So we've got 5 suggestions that I shared, CTAs in content, kind of retrofitted and then newly added as well, podcast video descriptions and email PSs and social media bios. So those bits of text that are always the same, right? Or default or templated, pop-ups and sticky bars on your website. So I use ConvertBox for this, really, really helpful. Collaborations, and finally, PR, including things like podcast interviews. So there you go. I hope this has given you some ideas of how you can get started today talking more about your products and services in everything you do, so that people really know for sure how you can help them the best. And I'm looking forward to hearing how it works out for you and seeing you next week inside DIY PR when we go live for the workshop. If you have any questions, you can email me lindsay@doeslanguages.com. Until then, have a wonderful rest of your day and I'll speak to you very soon. Thank you. Bye.